Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
In Jesus' name. In
Good morning, and thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. For those who listen on a regular basis, you may remember last month I mentioned my brother Larry being taken to hospice. Well, just a few days ago, my brother was interred at the National Military Cemetery in Salisbury, North Carolina. He has gone home to be with the Lord, and I want to thank all of those who knew about this and those who prayed for us during this time. Pray for his wife, Kay, as she is now living in an assisted living facility in Dallas, Texas, and pray for their son and family as well. Thanks so much for all of your prayer support during these days of releasing my brother, Larry, 20-year veteran of the Navy, into the hands of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for those who do pray for us from time to time. Thank you for bringing this ministry, this radio program, to the minds of praying people. And I pray that you would just continue to use us in these days as we preach in revival meetings. As the radio program is aired week after week, I pray that it would impact somebody for you. That's the primary purpose of this radio program, is that people might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that you would continue to supply the need as we have said goodbye to some significant contributors to this program over the last several months. Be with all of those folks who are dealing with physical issues. Pray that you would touch them, be with them, give them comfort and give them peace. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this third weekend of the month of October, I am in Sharpsburg, Georgia at the Church of the Nazarene just for Sunday only, October the 22nd. And then going to travel to Mattoon, Illinois, October 29 to November the 1st for revival services at the Eastside Church of the Nazarene. And then November 3 through 5, Flat Rock, Illinois, at the Free Methodist Church. We've been there many times, and wonderful pastor who's been there well over 30 years, and it's a joy to be with them again. And then November the 10th through the 12th, be traveling to Oak Hill, West Virginia for revival services there. So we do cover your prayers as we do this. You can write to me and help keep this program on your radio station. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lowenministries.org, and you can give there as well.
Life's head. I have a wonderful heritage. I wish you could have met my dad and my mom. My dad was one of the greatest preachers I've ever listened to. My mother was a prayer warrior. She prayed behind the scenes. I've looked at my dad's life. My dad died at the age of 82 in 2000. My dad would say from time to time, one of his servants, he'd say, I've held revival meetings in 38 states, Canada, and Cuba. Average preaching twice a day for over 60 years. And he had. I counted it up one day. He preached in 69 different camp meetings across this country. I say this humbly, but I followed in my footsteps in many of those camp meetings. I counted it up. I have preached in 67 camps. 64 camps it is. 64 different camp meetings. Many of those same camps my dad preached in. I followed in his footsteps. When I was fully engaged in what I do, I'm cutting back. Not as young as I used to be. I don't spring back like I once did. And so I've cut back in my meetings, but there was a time I did 40 meetings a year. And God blessed and God helped, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm not bragging. I'm just thankful that God has used me like that across the years and used my father across the years. He started a radio program in 1937. It's the second oldest radio program on the air today, second only to the Lutheran Hour. I'm still producing that program every week. But you know what? When all is said and done, you know who I believe will get the greatest reward when it comes to my family? It'll not be me, of course. And it'll not be my dad. And I've got a great family, my sister, my two brothers, all serving the Lord. It'll be my mom. Because my mom, she was a servant. My mom knew the Word of God. I'd call home. Dad would answer the phone. Lomans, hey, Dad, I need to find a passage of Scripture. Let me hand this to your mother. She'll tell you where it's at. Mother, she knew the Word of God. We'd have family devotions every night. It's a forgotten thing in our homes anymore. But we had family altar. Even when my dad would be out holding revival meetings, my mother would gather the five Loman siblings in the den of our home, and she would open the Bible and she'd read the Bible. I owe my knowledge of the Old Testament to my mother's reading the Old Testament to us when we were children. And then we'd pray, and we'd go around the room. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. Bless mom, dad, the dogs, and all everybody. I just bless everybody. And then mom would pray. She wouldn't pray out loud. Rarely did we hear her words, but you could hear her moan. You could hear her groan. My brother Richard and I were closest in age of the boys. And we'd sit there. Mother, she didn't have a time clock on her praying. My brother Richard and I would look at one and go. But mother would pray. And every once in a while would hear her go, And I was reminded of that verse of Scripture. When we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit Himself will pray for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. She knew how to pray. She had a 9th grade education. She didn't drive a car. But she'd walk the streets of the community where we lived. She'd knock on doors, find out who wasn't going to church, invite them to our church. And at one time in her life, before she started traveling with my dad full time, she would have as many as 27 of the women in our community, in our home, in a Bible study. Ninth grade education. Never drove a car. She's the warrior. She's the one with the servant attitude. Never heard my mother say, well, that's not my gift. Never heard my mother say, I don't have time for that. I'm not trying to pour a guilt trip on you tonight. Don't hear that. Please don't hear that. I'm just simply saying we need people who are experienced in this business of being a part of the army of God. Gerald Wolfe, a good friend of mine who was the owner of the Greater Vision Gospel Trio, he wrote this the other day and I couldn't help but put it in the sermon. He said, you don't have to be famous to be effective for God. And that's true. Well, let's finish this. When I look at this army that gathered at Ziklag, it says all these men of war could keep rank. That's significant. They could keep rank. Came with a perfect heart. One rendering says they didn't come with a divided heart. They came and were of one heart to make David king. Keep rank. You understand what keeping rank is, don't you? If you know anything about the battlefield prior to World War I, and even during some of World War I, they fought in rank. We were talking about Gettysburg today because your pastor is a Civil War aficionado. I mean, he knows about the Civil War. And I'm interested in that too. And if you know anything about that, when they fought at Gettysburg, they marched in rank across the fields toward one another. And when one soldier would be shot, the soldier behind them would step up where they were, keeping rank, keeping rank, keeping rank, to try and win the battle. And keeping rank requires courage. When my mom died, I thought, who's going to take her place? Who's going to take her place? God has not called us to succeed. He's called us to be faithful. It takes obedience. Being a part of the army of God means that we keep our ears attuned to the voice of the commander. We know how to hear the voice of God. There's singleness of purpose, specific goal, and that's to reach people for Jesus Christ. And it says all these fighting men who volunteered, these are volunteers, they're not getting paid to serve in the ranks. Now, like your pastor likes Civil War history, I'm a World War II history buff. A movie came out a few years ago called Pearl Harbor. And it's the depiction of what happened on December the 7th, 1941. It's quite an accurate depiction. And it also carries you through the Doolittle Raid over Japan. 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. It was a book that was written to record that. And the man who portrayed Jimmy Doolittle in that movie was enlisting volunteers to be a part of that Doolittle raid. And while we can't prove that Jimmy Doolittle actually said this for real, but in the script of that movie, the Jimmy Doolittle character made this statement. There is nothing stronger than the heart of a volunteer. They came with an undivided heart. They came to that place at Ziklag to make David king. And they succeeded because of the things I've already spoken to you about. Try and imagine this in closing. It's Rome, the Mamertine prison. Paul's been there for quite some time. He's been sentenced to death. He's sitting at that crude desk in his jail cell and he's writing a letter. It will be his last letter to a young man by the name of Timothy. The jailer comes. He hears him walking down the hallway, and he knocks on the door and says, "Paul? Paul? Yes? It's time." Maybe Paul said, "Can I just have a couple more minutes? Let me finish this letter." "You got to hurry, Paul. It's time." "Timothy, they've come for me. The time of my departure is at hand. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead," he writes. "And in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine." Sound familiar? "Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Sound familiar? "They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Couldn't be a clearer description of what we're facing today. "But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. But I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. There is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day. Not only to me also, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." We're part of an army, and we've got to make our minds up. Keep rank. Be courageous. Fight the good fight. Get into the word. Pray. Be bold. Don't slack off. Be a servant. Make Jesus Lord of lords and King of kings.
Father, I pray that the challenge tonight would ring true in our hearts. And as we leave this place, we would remember we're part of an army. We have an incredible responsibility for which we will be held accountable. And may we purpose in our hearts from this day forward, like never before, that we're going to do what it takes. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the word of God and hide it in our hearts. If necessary, volunteer to be a part of building the kingdom of God in what area you point us to. And we're going to keep rank. We're going to serve you with an undivided loyalty. And we're going to do our very best to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. Bless this church. Bless Art and Allison as they continue to lead. I know the vision they have for this church. I thank you for these faithful ones that have been here during the revival. And I pray somehow what they've received would bleed over into the hearts and minds of others for whatever reason didn't get to be here or just chose not to come. May the days to come be great, great days, even the greatest days this church has ever known, because they've chosen to make Jesus King of kings and Lord of lords. And they're going to do their part to make that a reality in the church, in the community, in the lives of the people with whom they come in contact. Thank you, Father. We go from this place determined to serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.